Welcome to the Good Hard Story Podcast, where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the exact same story. I'm Catherine Wolf, and I'm a stroke survivor, a speaker, an author, and co-founder of Hope Heals. Tune in here every week for conversations about wholeheartedly living in a good hard story. Join me in this joyful rebellion to the darkness where we discover the treasures hidden in our hurting. Friends, you are in for such a treat today on the Good Hard Story Podcast. My amazing friend, the absolutely phenomenal Jess Conley, is with us. Hi, Jess. Thank you for being here.
Hi, you are one of my favorite friends in the whole world. I'm so grateful for you.
I'm so grateful for you, Jess. For you listeners, I'm sure you know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Jess is an author, a pastor, a speaker, and personal cheerleader for thousands of women around the world who want to wake up into the abundant life he has for them. I call her my guru because if she says it, I will do it. Jess and her husband, Nick, are raising four amazing kids in Charleston, South Carolina, where they pastor and founded Bright City Church. Guys, she is changing hearts and renewing minds when it comes to how we feel about our bodies, our inadequacies, and our capacities. Through her podcast and her 11 books, her newest book, Tired of Being Tired, will be available on April 9th, which is a great day to get a copy of Tired of Being Tired and Treasures in the Dark and read both those books because you need them both in your life. Tired of Being Tired, I'm on chapter 6 and it is absolutely outstanding. The byline is Receive God's Realistic Rest for Your Soul Deep Exhaustion. What a great title and line, Jess. Wow. Whether you know Jess in real life or not, she feels like your smartest, most generous friend who is always willing to tell the truth, but softly. We are so fortunate to talk with Jess today, who has been, I should add, among many things, a pastor with her incredible husband, Nick, at our camp, which there's no one more special to me than people who are ministering to our precious camp community. So welcome, Jess.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I could not be happier to share a book birthday with you. I'm so pumped for Treasures in the Dark. I cannot wait.
You are so cool. I know. I feel cool releasing a book from Jess Conley. Is. It's very exciting. Listen, question. You are one of the most clearly high capacity and productive people I know. You're a wife, a mom of four, a pastor, an author, a podcast host, a speaker. You get it. I just talked to you about all the things you are. And you run a whole separate organization I didn't even talk about called Go Tell Gals, which is also absolutely incredible. So, I mean, whoa. You are also one of the most present, at peace people I know. You're so at home in your skin. It's so inspiring to me, Jess. It just honestly doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You're just quite amazing. So my question with all that is, with that insane resume, how could you know anything about rest, honestly? Tell us when you yourself became tired of being tired.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I could say the same about you. And I think one thing that's helpful, I think one thing that I see you live out, that I see everyone at Hope Heals live out, is acknowledge the capacity that we have, acknowledge the containers we have, and call them good no matter what. Mm-hmm. Call them good no matter how high functioning they seem. Mm-hmm. Call them good no matter how much they can stretch into and live into. And so I will say, I think there are a lot of people that look at my life and would call it high capacity or would call it busy or would call it full. But on the inside of it, I will tell you, I have a great team. I have a lot of help.
Right.
I actually feel allergic to being busy. I don't love having an overstretched schedule. And in a lot of ways, there are parts of me that I feel like maybe I got to the point of writing tired of being tired because I'm lower capacity in some areas and I couldn't function like this anymore. I would say emotionally, I feel pretty low capacity. I can't have a ton of friends. I can't text all day. There are parts of my life that I feel like, oh, I don't know how other people do this or do X, Y, and Z, and I don't have the capacity for that. But all that being said, you know, I don't know if you're like this, Catherine, but I've read every rest book I could get my hands on for the last decade.
Yeah.
And just living in our world, just doing what we do, just leading and mothering and working,
right?
Just being a person who has a life, I have thought, I need rest. And one thing that I noticed about all the rest books I read is that I would feel some kind of immediate shame about how full my life was and that it wasn't quiet all the time and it wasn't hush, but that it is loud and that my kids are wild and that our church is growing. And
right.
I don't know. I would feel some shame about like, wow, my life is so full. What's wrong with me? What's my problem? And then through really, truly my own breakdown where I hit my own limits, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
It was kind of through hitting those limits and starting to break down that I said, hold on one second. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. What does that look like for somebody like me who can't just quit my job, who can't take a 3-month sabbatical and just stop showing up, right, who can't stop loving my kids, who can't stop leading my church? What does this mean realistically for those of us who do not have a quiet and hushed life?
Right.
And that's how tired of being tired came to be. Yeah.
I love that. I think I used to feel a lot of shame. Like, wait, like one of my very best friends in the whole world, Brooke, is like the most sweet, like gentle and quiet spirit. And mm-hmm. I recognize the Lord kind of brought me to a place to realize you can still have a gentle and quiet spirit, but be a loud and exuberant personality. That's not the same thing. So I think we kind of frequently have to sort of redefine how we buy into what categories look like in our lives. Question based on that. And I will say, hustle feels like a virtue. Like going fast, getting a lot done seems to me to be the highest goal. Like that's, especially as Christian women, we got to be productive. We got to get stuff done. And probably similar to me, you are high capacity, achiever. Where do you think this worship of busyness comes from? Because it's definitely not from Jesus, for sure.
Yeah.
But it seems to be common struggle among people who do really love Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing to know is like, we didn't start this fight. We didn't begin this campaign, and I hope that immediately feels like rest for women or men who are wondering, why am I so tired? We were born into this, and so in secular culture, there's this love of productivity and movement and fruit and growth, and in what I can only assume is the work of the enemy, we have co-opted a lot of that in Christian culture, and we've kind of co-mingled this idea of God's favor and God's blessing with worldly fruit and movement. And so I think all of us have to kind of dismantle that belief. And I think we can spend time asking like, where did it come from and who said this? But what we know to be true is that from a really young age, women and men are praised for pushing past their limits. We're praised for showing up when we're tired. We're praised and called, you know, stoic and strong when we don't show emotion. We're praised when we can multitask and handle more than is really feasible for our brains. And we're really praised, especially in the church, for for doing something that I believe leads to a lot of spiritual fatigue, and that is trying to be Jesus to people. Mm. Maybe rather than worshiping Jesus and letting them see that, maybe rather than showing up for them and loving and serving them, but also understanding where we end and where God begins. But we kind of insert ourselves in this way of saying, like, I'll be Jesus for you. I'll show up for you in this way. And I do believe for a lot of us that leads to spiritual fatigue. So whoever started it, I believe it's the enemy. Unfortunately, I do think the church has kind of co-opted this love and glorification of hustle and busy because we see worldly fruit and we call that God's favor.
Totally. What has your own fatigue taught you about yourself and about God? And how have you found any freedom in being totally exhausted?
Well, I think the biggest thing that really slowing down and paying attention and saying, like, what do I believe about my fatigue? And what do I believe about rest? And what do I believe God is saying about those things? I would say the biggest thing that it's taught me about me and about God is that feeling tired in my body, in my spirit, in my mind, and in my emotions is not a sign that I'm weak. It's a sign that I'm human. It's a sign that I'm a child of God. It's right. Not even necessarily a sign that I'm doing something wrong or I need to change something. But to be alive in the year of our Lord 2024, we are going to experience fatigue. Living under the effects of a fallen world, living in the environment we live in physically and scientifically, but also spiritually and emotionally, we're going to feel fatigue. And so if I acknowledge that and I pay attention to that and I kind of begin to understand this theology of fatigue, then I can ask, what is God's position toward that? And what I always end up coming up with is compassion. I think he loves his kids. And I think in his compassion, he gave us principles and rhythms and guidelines that actually could help us revisit how we move and how we love and how we serve and how we work. And so I would say that's what it's taught me the most about God. If I'm answering how I've experienced the most freedom in my own exhaustion, it's in two different ways. Number one, the biggest way that I've experienced freedom is that I now rest before I get tired. So I don't work, push, and then feel like, okay, well, now I've earned my rest. Because what I know is that if I'm trying to earn my rest, I'll never get there. The premise will never be fulfilled because there's never enough on earth that we can do to earn rest. And that's because it's not something God gives us permission for. It's something he gives us invitation to. And even the way he created the world, evening and then morning, the first day in Genesis 1:5 tells us that we get to rest before we work. So I am now experiencing a lot of freedom by resting before I get tired. And then the second thing is that when I do get tired, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, I don't feel shame about it. I don't make excuses for it. I don't apologize for it. And I don't see it as some great offense to God or great offense to other people for me to get what I need to feel renewed, to feel restored, to feel recreated, and then get back to what he's asked me to do.
Yeah. How do you know you're tired if you're not yawning all the time and not, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a certain woman listening who'd be like, I feel rested. I feel good. Yeah. And I'm not overly tired. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Well, what I found in research and reading and just looking at the world and kingdom principles is that there's definitely more types of fatigue than physical fatigue. A lot of us pay only attention to physical fatigue.
Right.
But really, we've also got spiritual, emotional, and mental. So I would say, looking at spiritual fatigue, do you feel responsible for everybody else? Do you feel like all of your rhythms that you do with God are things that you have to do or that you should do, or even that you're doing them to try to get closer to God? Do you find yourself maybe, again, putting yourself in between other people and God consistently and over again to the point where that you feel exhausted and just kind of at the end of your rope? I'd say emotionally, what I would encourage people to look for is two different ends of this pendulum swing. One would be not being able to control their emotions. So this is what I call tired tears, when women just start crying and they say, like, I don't know why I'm crying. And I'm like, well, it's because you're exhausted and you have unprocessed emotions. That's why. But the other end of that pendulum is not being able to access emotion at all, not feeling joy, not feeling peace, not feeling excitement, not even letting yourself feel grief or disappointment or frustration, not letting yourselves, or not even like being at a place where we're so exhausted, we can't even access those anymore. Right. And then I would say mental fatigue shows up by not feeling present, by feeling distracted, by feeling like you have brain fog, by feeling like you can't access passion about something that you care about. Yep. All of those are good signs that we're actually tired in some other ways too.
I think that's so important. And I think it's important to identify what tired you are. I love that in your book. But I wanted to mention that the tips for spiritual low power mode are so awesome at the end of your chapters. Mm. I love it. And I love that what's asked of us is not to do something big. It's not to, begin a Bible study and talk about this. It's a lot of times something to think and something to just marinate on throughout your days. And I was particularly struck at the end of chapter 6 on page 90, how some of the tips that you give are things that I love, 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 including to begin a gratitude practice. Ooh, I'm a big fan of that. It says to fight striving about your season. That's glorious. Mm-hmm. Number 2, practice saying you're sorry and don't let guilt steal your humility. Wow, that is so powerful. Jess, I'm really trying to teach my children that. Like, do you see how that adult doesn't ever apologize? That's not how we want to live. We want to apologize. Right. I love that.
And also, politics gives us a lot of good examples of that. So it's nice. We can just watching the news with our family.
News and bringing it closer to home. Do you notice how that relative never apologizes? Ooh, that's a problem. They need to. They need some humility. And lastly, to confess to others, to fight shame. That's just so good. I want you to know I've been doing a lot of talk therapy for several years now. There's been so much power in just that practice of confessing and confronting the thing to fight back the shame of it. We're afraid of being afraid, and so we don't. And that's all part of not truly being able to rest, I would think. And that is such a glorious call to not make another special list and add another curriculum, but instead just to live differently. And I love that beautiful reframing, Jess. Your life and ministry is all about leading people to abundance, which I love so much. And your recent deep dive into rest is just a continuation of that true pursuit of abundance in Christ. Honestly, 20 years ago, if you would have asked me what abundance looked like, I probably would have linked abundance to financial stability and really good health and some amount of control over my own life, honestly. And none of these are bad things to wish for. I mean, none of that is bad. However, I don't think they are necessarily markers of an abundant life, which is ultimately your call. So my question is, as you've become kind of an expert in cultivating true abundant life, have you had your definitions of abundance change?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think again, going back to this idea that like we really need to dismantle what our culture glorifies. I think as believers, as kingdom-minded people who live in this upside-down world of the now and not yet, I think if we're not continually paying attention and saying like, what have I begun to receive and believe the world is telling me about what abundance means? I love how Tim Keller used to use the phrase de-catechize, that the world is catechizing us just as the church is catechizing us. And the world is saying, this is what abundance looks like. This is what a good life looks like. And we have to de-catechize and say, like, hold on, the world says this, but the kingdom says this. And so, yeah, my perception on what abundance looks like has completely changed. And I would say I think that one thing that has helped me grow is continually holding up to God and saying, okay, what now needs to come off? What now needs to come off? But now I see it a lot less as worldly excess, and I see it a lot more as walking the fruit of the Spirit. Having a pace in my life that enables me to be loved by God and to love other people genuinely, not just act like I'm being loving, but genuinely love them. I would say abundance for me looks like being able to walk at a pace or move at a pace where I can really live into the idea that peace is my birthright, and I can access peace that passes understanding, knowing that peace actually also isn't like a quiet and hushed life with no burdens on it.
Right.
But it's one where I'm exposed to my own burdens and other people's burdens, and I can experience peace that passes understanding because it's supernatural.
Right.
Yeah, I would say all of those have really shifted the way I see abundance, but I'm kind of constantly having to break ties with this idea.
Of course.
That it's the good life, right?
Right.
And it's the tidy life that the world offers. Yeah.
Right. Oh gosh, you are speaking my language. There is
Well, I've so learned it also from you. I've learned it from you and from Hope Heals. And I mean, I know it's your language because you live it out.
Oh, well, it's not natural, the redefinitions of everything, the reframing of everything. But honestly, to survive anything, you've got to redefine everything. And that's what you've done. You are redefining abundance. I'm currently trying to redefine things that are overwhelming in my life, like we're opening a coffee shop, releasing a book, just April and May with the kids. It's all a lot. It's a big season. And I'm reframing overwhelm as abundance itself, as this is all gift from the Lord, and I don't have to be so tethered to the outcomes. I just get to enjoy it and praise the Lord for it all, and just with gratitude respond. And I love that so much, Jess. And I see you doing that so beautifully in so many different arenas of your life. You know, for me, the whole concept of a good life has been rocked to the core. And how could Psalm 84:11 be true? That no good thing does God withhold? How possibly? And I think this is all part of that. It's what is the good life. And I'm glad I'm teaching you because you're teaching me, which I guess is how it's supposed to be. So let me ask you one final question that kind of ties in to that thought. Here on the Good Hard Story podcast, Jess, we like to ask our guests, what is good in your story? What is hard in your story? And how do you live in the tension of both of those in your good hard story?
I love that question. I love how you're inviting us all to think about it. I would say probably very similar to you right now in this season, what is good, great, beautiful about my life is that it is filled with a lot of ministry. There are a lot of people to love. There are a lot of people to lead. I have no shortage of, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like content to be motivated by the good of others.
I
have a lot of hurting people in my midst, as I know you do. And I love that. And I feel like it's such an honor and a privilege to get to be an ambassador of Christ. I would say what's hard in my story is that all of that leadership looks like a broken heart a lot of days. All of that leadership looks like a tired body and an overwhelmed mind. And I'm blessed to find that Jesus is kind to me and he's my friend in that hard, that he doesn't just ask me or invite me to do hard things without walking with me. But yeah, I think any kind of leadership and any kind of growth and any kind of abundance also usually comes with a weighty burden and a broken heart.
Oh, wow. I think that's so good. And when you can recognize that as you are doing, it changes everything. That yeah. I can allow my circumstances to break my heart, but I'm not going to stay broken with a broken heart. Mm-hmm. I'm going to live from that place. And I will never forget it, Jess, when you led the Breaking Free from Body Shame panel at Hope Hills Camp. And it was like the highest attended panel of all time, you should know. I mean, insane volunteers, campers, everybody's at the door for your message. You said, like, let's start treating our own body like our friend. Like, and something about to that community in particular, where so many of us have outwardly broken bodies, was such a beautiful reframing. And honestly, I see that as what you are doing in every area of your life, is teaching us how to reframe and redefine how we see so many of the hardest parts of our stories. So I am a huge fan of your good heart story that you are living so well.
I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful to get to be your friend and also to get to be your student and learn from you as you live this out.
Oh, please. Likewise. And a book birthday is truly a celebration when it's with you, my friend. So I'm sure we'll be in touch in the near future after I finish this amazing book. Hey, just tell us where to get the book, keep up with you, all the things before we end.
Yeah. Tired of Being Tired is available at all the places, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Target. And I'm Jess A. Connolly on Instagram. And my website is jessconnolly.com.
Awesome. And you should get coaching through the Go Tell Gals. And Jess Connolly will be your coach. I mean, really amazing.
It's true.
Come on. Well, thank you for being with us, Jess. This is just a gift. And I can't wait to finish this glorious book and to just continue to keep up with your amazing thinking as you truly are an ambassador of Christ. It's glorious.
Thank you, friend. Love you so much.
Thank you for joining us on the Good Heart Story podcast. To learn more about what we are doing, follow us on Instagram at Hope Heals. Check out all things Hope Heals at hopeheals.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this wherever you get podcasts, and please feel free to share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it. Good Heart Story Podcast is a production of Good Heart Story, LLC. It is produced by Leah Case and Mary Austin Hall. And I am your fearless and fabulous host, Catherine Wolf. Come back and join us every week where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the very same story. We are with you and for you, friends.